Well, I think this is my 8th day now in Ireland, and I feel so much honored and loved and taken care of here, that and I'm deeply humbled seeing your country, and it also reminds me of, you know, from where my beginning is and how I have come thus far. And it, if it were not for God, I don't think it would have been possible. And I think He's reason. Amen. Jesus is alive. That's why it could be possible. I you know, from that point of view, I'm saying, because if it were not for Him, I don't think I would have gone out from my country more than 40 kilometers or maximum 100 kilometers. Or maybe that's all. But the reason I can come here is because He owns the whole world. This is His world, and every individual that I see on the face of this earth is His child, and He loves them, and the power that raised Christ from the dead, is that power works in His church. And this morning I am delighted to bring God's word, and thank you very much, Reverend Pat, for allowing me to, you know, minister along with you. Actually, we are partners together in sharing the gospel. We are partners. You know, we can see in the world there are so many partnership happens in the business world, but our partnership is to spread the word, spread the gospel into the world, and because the whole world needs this, the whole world is craving for this, and there are sin and death. That this is the problem. No matter how big we have gone ahead, you know, no matter how developed we are, you know, in every country, this is in the human problem, that we are not rid of our sins and we cannot get rid of death. And in India, you know, I don't know here, but they are conscious about their sins, and you know, and they do everything to make sure the sins are washed away. So we have a river that flows, and we, my neighbors, we Indians would go there and dip ourselves to make sure our, you know, once we are dipped in that river, we think, okay, our sins are cleansed and I can go to heaven. Well, the sin problem is not solved anywhere in the world except through Christ Jesus. And that is the hope we have. And Jesus has not come to give us religion. Jesus has come to give us new life. I have come that we may have life, and life abundantly. And this morning I am so glad that, you know, I can bring God's word. You know, John chapter 4 is something that is in my heart. And as me and Reverend were praying, and he was praying, God, you meet individuals. And he quoted the scripture, John chapter 4, and you did not know what I was going to share. So, and when he said, Lord, I see in John chapter 4, you met this Samaritan woman. I said, wow, that is the confirmation, the word that I am going to give you. So, it's wonderful what can happen on the roadside. You know, when you go out, it's a roadside story. When you read through that, you know, Jesus set out to go to, you know, when you read this in chapter 4, verse 1. Now Jesus learned that Pharisees had heard that he was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John, although in fact it was not Jesus who baptized but his disciples. So he left Judea and went back once more to Galilee. Now he had to go through Samaria. So he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar. So when you set out to go out somewhere, and now Jesus left Judea and went back once more to Galilee, and he had to go through Samaria. One thing we realize, that we don't plan whom are we going to meet on the road. You know, who would be our co-passenger if we are traveling in a train or a bus or a plane. You know, we don't decide that who would be sitting beside us, ahead of us. So it is interesting. Anything can happen on the road. I have got an interesting story. In India, in Missouri, where I live, where I come from, the roads are very narrow, and from that wall to, not even that wall. So, and two vehicles have to cross in this kind of road. And my wife had to buy something, and for us, if we see a vegetable shop, we will stop there. Just stop there. There is no parking. It's a total, complete different world. And I want you to come. And it has, this last eight days have done so much introspection into my heart. How much grateful, you know, I know God. That's why I came here. But, you know, I'm deeply grateful to you for bringing me here, actually, for this church and helping me to come to this place. But it has really, and I opened my eyes to see a different world, and I had never seen this kind of world ever. So I invite you to please come and see it. It is always a give and take, you know. When you come, you will also receive something that will enlarge your heart. And after coming here, my heart has been really enlarged. I there is a way that God has worked in my heart. Anyway, so I told my wife, go as quickly as possible, and whatever you have to, I just get by and we'll go. So she ran, got something, whatever we needed. And as she was coming, and I was just making sure that no vehicle comes, because it will be a little tight, and it's okay. You know, they will wait, or they will not wait. They will scream at me, or something may happen, honk. So, and as she was coming, she entered, she opened the front, and she sat down, and I saw somebody just opened my back door and got inside the vehicle and closed the door. And I said, who is this? Then I looked back, and this lady is saying, Bhaiya, brother, if you're coming little further, if you're going ahead, please take me also. And there is so much desperation in her that she couldn't wait. She did not ask me whether I would take her or not, but she just opened my back door and get inside and then closed and asking me. And I said, well, I looked back and I realized she is actually pregnant and about 9 months carrying stage. And what she told was, I have been walking since last 4 kilometers, and I thought maybe I will get a ride, and I couldn't find any ride. So please take me. And Mussoorie roads are like this. So she has actually climbed about 4 mountains. And since, and now I said, look, you're going to, where are you going? She said, I'm going to the hospital. My husband is admitted. And I had to go and work, because there is no one to earn money. So I have to go and work. And then now it is evening, so I can come back and look after my husband. And hardly 1 kilometer I would take her. Then I told her, look, the hospital is closed now. No, what would we do? Then she said about that. Then I realized that she's not going to for the checkup, but for to see her husband. And then she's saying, God is so unjust for me. We had done the family planning, you know, we never wanted any children. But it didn't work. Now, I thought it's a tumor inside my belly. And I thought there is a tumor. Then I went to the hospitals. They said, no, it's not a tumor. You are pregnant. And now, I don't have money to take care of my husband. I don't have money to take care of this baby. I never wanted this child. Well, you can show that picture maybe, brother. If it is. So, and she never wanted the... Okay, so, and I don't want this baby. And as I was driving, I said, look, would you give that baby to me? She said, yes, please take, I don't want this baby. So, and so much thing can happen on the roadside. That is something whenever I think about what can happen on a road, this baby comes to my mind, that as I was buying my vegetable, I didn't get a vegetable, but I got a baby. And this baby, yeah, please go, you know, and such a precious child. And the next day, her husband, who was actually admitted, he died. And he died, she became a widow. And then she gave birth to this boy. And yeah, please. And my friend of mine and his wife, they came from about 2,000 miles away. In fact, just then he rang me up. I had lost his number. I knew they don't have children. So I was thinking, God, I wish they can somehow I get to connect him. And he calls me and says, "How are you doing?" I said, "Look, you need to come. You know, this is what is." And they came from 2,000 miles away and took the child. And sadly, this man, after few years, he also died. The man you are seeing that, you know, such a healthy looking man. But now the lady and the boy are in good place, and you know, he has a house, and this lady has got some. In India, we, you know, that's hope for her, that in her old age this boy would grow up and take care of her. So wonderful. It has gone beyond my imagination. Anything can happen. And just to tell the story, and on this road where Jesus is going, and we see this Samaritan woman. Now he had to go through Samaria. He came down in Samaria called Shechem, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. And Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about noon. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. You know, it's interesting. This Samaritan woman comes in the noon and asks Jesus, you know, Jesus is asking her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into town to buy food. And now for 13 people, apparently 12 men have gone to the city to buy food for 13 men. I do see a administrative problem there. It is not, you know, good administration. But something is deep down there. What do I see is, you know, let's read, because, you know, there is so much in this story that every time I read it, it really encourages me, and there is hope for this world that I can see. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew and I am a Samaritan. Woman, how can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, for he would have given you living water." Let's read it again. "If you knew the gift of God," let's speak this word of God. Can you please repeat after me? "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." My God, he offers this water on the road to a stranger. That something hits me every time I think about this word. A stranger, and strangers are everywhere. People are everywhere. And Jesus is offering what he is saying to this lady: if you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you the living water. Now, in my mind, I always think about this lady. You know, what did you do, lady, to get this favor? She did nothing. I would say it is grace, favor, grace of God. And the, you know, grace, that's what we see here, grace of God. And then the highest purpose of man, that's what we are going to talk now, you know, any human being in the face of this earth, is to worship God. There is a God-created vacuum in every human being. And they want to fill it with everything. Money, sex, materials, and anything they would think, okay, this void would go. It is all over the world. It is happening everywhere. And we think maybe this would, now what is next? I didn't feel satisfied. What is next? What is next? And we keep searching for that. And that void, that vacuum is never ever gone unless God himself comes. So the highest purpose, the reason God has created you and me, so that we would know him. And unless and until we know him, we are always wandering here and there. And that is the reality of this world. That is the reality of this country and all over the country. And that is, there is hope in Christ Jesus. There is hope that he is the one who would give, you know, that vacuum would go away. And Jesus is saying, if you knew me, you would ask me and I would have given you living water. And that water, he says in verse 13, Jesus answered, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. When this woman says, you have nothing to draw with and the well is deep. Where can you get this water? Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his livestock? Jesus answered, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty, but whoever drinks the water I will give them will never thirsty. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. And we all know about this. This is the Holy Spirit he is talking about. Holy Spirit's presence, if it is gone from our lives, then we have nothing. And Jesus says later to his disciples before his crucifixion, that I would not leave you orphan. I would be with you. I will send the helper. He will be with you. I am with you, but I will be in you. He is with you. He will be in you. That is the biggest hope that I have as I follow Christ. You know, I used to throw this Bible, thinking this is a foreign religion. This is the religion of the Britishers. They came to India and brought their religion so that, you know, India would be converted. That's what I was thinking. But the reality is, in India, Christianity is 2,000 years old. When Saint Thomas, the disciple of Jesus, the doubting Thomas, came to India, and he was the one who first brought the gospel. And why did he bring the gospel? Because he saw Jesus being raised from the dead. Why did he bring gospel? Because he was filled with the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. Why did he bring the gospel? Because God called him, God led him, the Spirit of God led him to India. But for me, I was thinking, no, this is not that. You know, the fact is, Holy Spirit brings life. Holy Spirit is the one who creates new life. And I was thinking, this is not for me. But when I realized God sent his son, not to give us a new religion, not to give us do and don'ts. Not, you know, we don't have a lot of things like that in India. We have lots of regulations. We make sure that if I slightly mistake somewhere, then I need to repeat that sacrifice again. A lot of things happens. Well, Jesus came to give us life. Jesus came to give us a relationship. And through the Holy Spirit, we have that. And that's what I'm enjoying. That's what I have that every day. Today, you know, the biggest thing about Jesus is he has not left us orphan. Amen. He has not left us just as we are. We are not on our own. And he is there to satisfy us, to make us complete. He is there to lead us. And every day we can go to him and say, Father, lead me, guide me. Talk to me, and he will speak. That is the relationship that he offers. And this woman did not know that. He's asking Jesus, from where will you get this water? You don't have. But Jesus says, I will give you the water. Sir, in verse 15, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water. She thinks it's a physical water. Then Jesus says, go, call your husband and come back. Well, that's where she reveals her. Jesus reveals about her. I have no husband, she replied. Jesus said to her, you are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you have had five husbands, and the man you know have not yet your husband. What you have said is just true, quite true. Sir, the woman said, I can see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem. You know, it's about the place of worship they are talking about now. But this lady, she had five husbands, and Jesus knew about her, everything about her, what she has done. And that is the hope I have. He knows about you and me, what is happening right now. He knows how much sinner we are, how much hopeless people we are. But he is not saying that I want you to go first clean yourself and then come to me. No, he is coming to me and you. He is coming just as I am. He is not saying that is the hope even today. I don't have to be perfect to come to Jesus Christ. He will make me perfect by His Spirit, by the power that He would give me. He keeps working in my life even today. Neither I was a saint nor am I today, but I have a relationship with Him. The day I accepted Christ, I told Him, Lord, forgive me. Please hold my hand and lead me. And that's what He did. He held my hand and started leading me. I had so many things in my life. I wanted to have my own personal way. I wanted to do my way. But I realized the way, the more I live my own way, I'm losing His peace. I'm losing His presence from my life. And then I realized that no, the more I come back to Him, I am getting that peace and joy and rest. You know, there is no water in this earth that can truly satisfy you and me. There is nothing that can truly satisfy you and me. Only the presence of God. And the more I gave myself up to Him, He filled me. He filled me with His joy, peace. And that's what happens. You know, worship. We are worshiping something or other. That is the fact of this world. That is the fact of human life. We are worship. And praise God for His grace. Amen. That He is gracious even today. And that's where we have been called. That we need to be worshipping Him in spirit and truth. That's what Jesus says to him. Later, you know, when the disciples come back, let's read verse 27. Just then His disciples returned and were surprised to find Him talking with a woman. But no one asked, what do you want? Or why are you talking with her? Then leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, one significant thing happened here. This lady is leaving her water jar. The purpose for which she had come all the way from leaving her house in the noontime, you know, to get some water. She leaves that water jar. Maybe probably so that Jesus had asked her for water. So maybe He would use that. Maybe that. But what I see, what I feel is, no, she got a different, higher purpose than to just live her mundane life. You know, we may be stuck with our life. We think that, wow, what a successful life. But we know in our hearts that it is not truly happy life. But we think, oh, what can I do? I am stuck here. This is the world. This is the life. But no, our spirit is crying for something higher, something bigger, something more. And we think maybe here, maybe there, maybe here, maybe there. And we have not found it. But this lady is telling me, no, that's what I was. But when the day I encountered Jesus, my purpose changed. My life changed. My whole direction changed. And I was shy, maybe, because of my life, the way I had lived my life. Now she goes back and, come, see a man. Leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, come, see a man who told me everything I ever did. Yes, I am a sinner, whatever. What am I? Just as I am. But I have met somebody who transformed my life. I think that is something all of this world needs. Now, there is no hope in this world if Jesus is not in their lives. There is no the peace. There is nothing. And every human being needs that. That they have to have an encounter with Jesus Christ as this lady. Meanwhile, His disciples urged Him, Rabbi, eat something. But he said to them, I have food to eat that you know nothing about. Wow, this is something that always hits me. Because Jesus is hungry, just as the other disciples. Jesus is thirsty. But now Jesus is saying, I have food to eat. I am satisfied. I have food to eat that you know nothing about. Then his disciples say to each other, could someone have brought him food? You know, disciples, they had left Jesus and went to the market to get some foods. But now they have got food, but they are not super happy. They have come back and, oh, somebody might have given him food. Wow, easily he didn't have to walk as we had to walk all the way to the market. They might be thinking like that, or maybe he got some better food, or what kind of, it's always there is a comparison. Anyway, this disciples, I don't know what they might be thinking, but Jesus says to, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. My dear brothers and sisters, that's where we have our true satisfaction, true contentment, when you do the will of God. And here in this place, it is working for mission. You know, the church is not a social gathering. That's what I believe. The church is not a club. The church has a mission. And if I lose that goal, if I lose that passion for souls, because that's the heart of our God, that he is looking for people. He's searching for people. So anybody, it doesn't have to have, you know, anybody who knows God, he would not be able to keep quiet. That's what happened with me. When I found Jesus, I could not keep quiet. I have to tell somebody, I have found something. Would you please come and know him? You know, that's the biggest job I felt. Because one day we are going to leave this world. We have come naked, we'll go naked. That's what I will say. No, but anything that we're doing, it will stop. So what is there? What is there in the next life? So I think that's where I realized that, well, come to Jesus and he will give you the right direction. And that's where we see mission exists because worship does not. People do not worship. And there is a time we don't have to do the work of the mission. That we don't have to preach the gospel. A day is coming. Everybody will be in peace, in joy. That's what we are longing for today. Why there is so much pain? Why there is so much tears? Why there is so much trouble in the world? We don't want anything. That's exactly what God wanted. You know, when God created human being, he never wanted them to die. But we sin and we die. You know, death came. That's why we abhor, we dislike death. We don't like death because death separates, you know, families, separates us from this world. We don't like death. We will do anything to avoid death. But a day is coming when there will be no death. And a day, that day, we don't have to preach the gospel. And that day, there will be worship unto God. And we don't know what would be that. But for me, worship is enjoying God. Worship is, you know, just enjoying him and being happy in his presence. And he knows, and there is so many things that I don't understand. But worship, that's what is the ultimate thing would happen in heaven. Dear friend, the grace of God is working in our lives. That's why we are not perished. And we need the Holy Spirit even today, the living water. If we don't have that Holy Spirit, we cannot live. That's why we're created for, to worship. And there is a lot of big mission field out there that needs Jesus. And we need to go out and preach. And we have been given that living water. So let's go out and do that. And the biggest joy I have seen in my life is to when I bring somebody and that person is complete, like meeting Jesus, encountering Jesus, his life is changed. You know, the day I met this lady, I told her that I would come back tomorrow and meet your husband. I was busy. I thought maybe he has survived so many days, so he would survive more. But the next day, he died. It created such a pain in my heart. I wish I would have gone and met him. I wish I had gone and shared the gospel to him. Because he's gone now. But thankfully, one other brother had gone and shared the gospel to him, and he he accepted Christ. That's what the lady says. But only God knows what happened. But what I realized is the pain of not sharing gospel, the pain of not telling other people what I know about. My prayer for this church, for all of us, is that we would know the grace of God is working in our life. Amen. He has encountered us in special. He did not count our sins. He comes to us just as we are and offers us living water. And he wants us to worship him in spirit and truth. Let's not worship as others who do not know the Lord. They worship wealth. They worship beauty. They have their self-worth that comes from other things. But our self-worth comes from God who has created us. He has created you and me in his image. We are all fallen creature, but he has created us in his image, and we are precious. We are purchased by his blood. So let's worship him, but let's not forget that we have a task. We have a task to share the gospel to other people. We have a task, and that's why the church exists. That's why, you know, the disciples, all the first church, they were killed because of the testimony. 11 of them, you know, one of them, John, was sent to Patmos. Everyone suffered. Let's have that mindset that, yes, this gospel needs to go out. And if I don't share this, then there is something drastically wrong about me. Because I cannot keep quiet but share the gospel. And the world needs this. Amen. Let's commit our lives into the hand of God and pray. Father, we thank you that you are here. Lord Jesus, I pray this morning that you would encounter all of us just as you did to that lady in that well, O Lord, that Samaritan lady. Father, just as we are, we come to you, knowing that you have not changed. Father, you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. Lord, I thank you that you have created us to worship you, to enjoy you. Oh God, you loved us so much. You have created us so that we would love you back. Father, that is your command to us. Lord, there are so many things that we love in this world. Father, forgive us, O Lord. Forgive us, O Lord God Almighty, and enable us, open our eyes that we would see that you are the one who needs to be worshipped in this world. Father, I pray that our lives would be a life that would shine forth your light, that we would give the bread that you have given us, the water that we have received, the living water, to all of those who are around us, who are thirsty and hunger. Lord God, we meet so many people in this world, Lord, but we just look away from them. Father, forgive us, Lord. Lord, enable the church to find its purpose for which we exist. And Lord, we are nothing without you. And we thank you that your presence is here. You indwell us. We give you glory and honor and praise. Help us to transform the lives as you want that, Lord. Help us to impact this world. Help us to leave a dent in this world. And we in ourselves are nothing. We give you glory and honor and praise. We commit our lives in your hand. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you.